from stpetecatalyst.com.
And this is the Catalyst Sessions. Happy Thursday. Happy July 2nd. So pleased to have with me as a guest tonight, Stacy Zabarsky, who is the founder and the artistic director and the big cheese and the grand poobah of Innovative Theater out of Tampa, Florida. How many titles do you have? I mean, you're the buck stops with you. Innovative Theater. Yeah.
A little bit. We're a small operation, so I wear many hats. Yeah.
Well, that's all right. So, give me a history of Innovative. I mean, I want to talk about you and your background, but it's what, about three and a half years old now?
Yep, we're about 3.5 years old. We started with the first Tampa Fringe Festival with a one-woman show called Dark Vanilla Jungle. Yeah. And since then, we've been co-producing over at StageWorks Theater, using their venue since we don't have our own space yet. No. We've been doing usually two productions a year over at StageWorks. And this is our kind of our first venture into the digital online realm.
Well, what we're going to be talking about is Lauren Gunderson's play, Natural Shocks, which Innovative is going to be doing virtually next week. We're going to talk about that in a minute because it's exciting as all get out. But first, let me talk to you about the name Innovative. I mean, it's innovative and it's evocative. I remember you telling me about this. It made such perfect sense when you explained it to me. It's a mouthful, but it makes sense. Tell us where you got the name and what you meant by that, I guess.
Well, when we were first trying to form the company, my husband and I were having some discussions about the type of theater that I would like to produce and direct. And, you know, I was coming up with words like innovative, evocative, provocative, thought-provoking. And so we were kind of in the car. Actually, we were going to Free Fall Theater. Shout out to our friends at Free Fall.
Yeah.
And so we were driving, you know, across the long bridge there. And we were talking about this. And then we kind of got there and, you know, watched the show. And then on the way home, out of the blue, my husband goes, innovative. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And he goes, the name for your company. I've been thinking about it. Innovative. Good. I was like, that's pretty cool.
First thing I think of is Inagata Davida. And then I go off in a whole different trip. But the idea is that I always got from what you guys do is that you do it for not only for the love of theater, but for the love of a mission of you do a certain kind of show, you know, that's maybe a little thought provoking, a little evocative, if you will. And the first one that I saw last year was Shane Mandel, which knocked my proverbial socks off because it's like, it was something I'd never thought of, but it was so well done.
Oh, thank you.
How do you decide what you're going to do? Let's put it that way.
Well, I read a lot of plays. Yeah. And I ask for input from other local artists as well, and our board members. And we try to pick plays that are socially relevant, topical. Very often they're female-centric because, I don't know, I guess that's what I'm drawn to as a female business owner, you know, and an actress myself and a director. I'm drawn to stories that are about women. Now, that's not to say they've all been about women, but most of them have. And also,
well, you did Proof once, right?
I mean, I did Proof.
And the central character there is a woman going through a whole big tornado full of shit.
Right. Yeah, we've done Proof. We've done Ugly Lies the Bone, which was about a female war veteran dealing with PTSD. Mm-hmm. We did, like you said, a Shayna Madel. Yeah. We did The 100 Dresses, which centers around school bullying with girls in school. So yeah, we tend to, even Dark Vanilla Jungle, our very first production was about a young woman who found herself in an abusive relationship. I guess I tend to be drawn to dramas and that they're centered around women, but also that have a topical current theme. I think that theater is a great way to open up a dialogue and have people examine different points of view that maybe they didn't think about. One of our other productions, Keeley and Do, focused around a woman's right to choose, which is a very hot topic with folks. I think it's a safe place to have people examine their own beliefs and maybe see someone else's side or point of view. And then we try to do things afterwards to extend out in the community by having talkbacks or lunch and learns or sessions around the issues of the play.
Do you find it, limiting in a way that you only do two shows a year, you know, where I think of, I know you work with Carla over there at Stageworks, and that's one of my favorite places to see a show. Shout out to Carla.
Hey, Carla.
But you don't have a permanent home. It's sort of like two shows a year. You know, a theater company will do five or six or whatever it is. Do you have an are you like Batman? Do you have a day job too?
I do have a day job. I teach theater. I teach drama for kids in an after-school program, and then I also private coach as well. But I mean, I would love to do more shows right now, again, because we're a small company. That's kind of what we've been able to manage. But hopefully in the future, we could definitely do a full season. I would love that. And
well, that was my question. If you see like, you know, growth in your future, like we you would like to do that. And are you basically the, how many, do you have a board of directors? Is it just you and your husband or?
No, we do. We do have a board of directors, you know, my husband helps out in many different capacities. If you come to one of our shows, he's usually the house manager in the lobby.
I think so. I remember that.
I often put him to work.
Yeah.
But he's very, very supportive of the company and me and the mission. And so he helps out wherever and whenever he can. So.
I wanted to talk about your deep dive into theater on a personal level. You come from a big, fat Greek family in Dunedin, as I recall.
Yes.
Which, you know what? I mean, I was thinking about that. Well, that's a stone's throw from Tarpon Springs. I mean, are there, I ask you frankly and honestly, because I don't know, are there a lot of Greeks settled in the Dunedin area, in that part of Pinellas County, because it's close to Tarpon Springs?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so. I think... definitely Tarpon Springs. I mean, although I think there are a lot of Greek families all over the Bay Area.
This is true. I mean, you think of Tarpon Springs. I was born and raised in St. Pete. I remember taking a school trip to the Sponge Docks in the fourth grade, you know.
Right.
And I said, well, that's where all the Greek people are. And now I know Bill Giorgio is a Greek guy. And I don't think he's ever been to Tarpon Springs. So he runs a restaurant here in town. Shout out to Bill. The Berg Diner and the Berg Grill. That's him. Yeah. So I remember though, Stacey, you telling me, I want to do theater. And your parents said, great, get a real job first. Isn't that kind of the trajectory? I think I hear some variation on this story all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of true. You know, I think it's hard for people who don't have the passion and love for theater to understand those of us who do. There's a little bit sometimes of a disconnect.
Sure.
It's been interesting. Although over the past few years since I moved back and I started the company, my mom's been a very big supporter. So that's really nice. It's sort of come full circle now. She comes to my productions and she usually brings a bus from the retirement center that she lives at. And a group of, you know, 15 or so of them always come to see the productions. And
oh, that's nice.
So it's really, I think she's started to appreciate more what I do and what's involved and that it's not just a flight of fancy, should we say.
Well, all you have to do is see the shows. When I saw Shane and Randall, it was sold out, you know. I remember you squeezed us in because it was, you know, I think maybe your mom and the gang from the community was there. There was so many people.
Could have been. That's been our best-selling show. Other than The 100 Dresses, which featured which was the children's show about bullying. Yes. That one sold very well too. And we actually had some extra shows that were specifically just for host camps because it was over the summer. So those two shows so far have been our top two sellers. So I'm really glad you got to see it. Cause we were trying to, shoehorn people in there and stick.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I remember your husband saying, oh, there's two seats up in the back. Yeah. Why did theater reach out and grab you when it did? I mean, as kids, we're inundated with so much stuff that could be influences or just could be passing fancies. Why was it theater for you?
I was really shy growing up. Yeah. And when I started doing theater, it was such a relief to me to be able to, like, someone hands you a script and you know what to say now. So, and I could inhabit these characters that were far more confident than I ever was. And so I just found it very freeing in a way, and I was good at it. It was something that I was good at. Like, I was never athletic. I wasn't good at sports. Yeah. I found my niche, in high school was drama club and thespians and being in productions and plays.
This is why I became a guitar player. Exact same reasons. Cause I was the furthest thing from cool. And try as I might, it never worked. But I found something that felt right for me. I think that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think actors, over the years, I've noticed actors seem to fall into two distinct categories. That's probably a generalization, but I've really found there's the really outgoing, gregarious, loud and proud. And then
we all know them. Yeah.
Right. We all know those. Right. Yeah. And then there's the very quiet, soft-spoken, who are on the other side of that spectrum, but they're not that way on stage. But yeah. I think that's again, for me, the experience was, that's what I found so freeing and liberating was, I knew what to say. I could be a different character and I wasn't myself,
You acted in school up in Dunedin?
Oh yes, at Dunedin High School, many years.
Right. What were some of your favorite shows that you remember?
Oh my goodness.
I know they're still in there.
Come on. We did summer musicals, so that was a lot of fun. We did, you're asking me to dig back in the brain. That was a long time ago.
a lot of Rodgers and Hammerstein and, Or was it like Waiting for Godot?
No. I remember my very first production there, actually, and my mom signed me up. So kind of it's her fault. But my mom signed me up as a rising freshman to be in a summer production at Dunedin High School. And so I didn't know anybody. And I would ride my bike to the campus every day. And they were doing an original rock musical that they had written along with the drama teacher because they had a lot of musicians. And it was very similar to Fame, which, it was the 80s. So Fame was a big deal. So it was about this, school for the arts and all these different cliques in high school and the band members and the singers and the dancers and I thought that was the coolest thing ever because, here I was 12, 13 years old with all these high school students and I'm in this musical. And so that's sort of what started it all, honestly, was that right there.
Okay, to wrap up the biographical thing, which is clearly making you uncomfortable, I will say this because we want to get to why we're talking tonight. You worked for Subway for a decade, 10 years?
Oh, even more, 17.
You weren't a sandwich artist, folks. You actually worked for the company.
I started as a sandwich artist.
Did you?
Yeah, I started as a sandwich artist in the store on Main Street in Dunedin.
Wow.
And went into management and then I went to work for the corporate side of things. So I went to work for the headquarters and helped open new locations and trained. And when my husband and I moved to North Carolina, I worked for the development office in Chapel Hill and helped train and open stores across all of North Carolina. So yeah, I was at corporate end for like 17 years.
It was seven. Oh my God, 17 years. So you are, is it the sort of thing where like, I couldn't look at like a Subway BMT now. I mean, can you still eat that, those sandwiches, or are you kind of like, I can't do it? Shout out to you, Jared, whatever prison you're in.
Sorry, I have no desire to eat a sandwich. I get my pub subs from Publix now.
Oh yeah, those are the best ones. I really like, shout out to Jersey Mike's because I like them too. Anyway, the story goes that you finally just said, I got to do theater. And you got sick of the corporate life. Am I getting this right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so pretty much.
You went back to school?
I did. I went back to school after being out for like 17 years. Enrolled to take like one class or two class just to see how it would be. And I really liked it. And so then I enrolled full time at UNC Chapel Hill. And yeah, that's where I got my degree in dramatic arts. So, yeah.
So it was a sort of, it's now or never kind of thing. Like, you know.
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of felt, I mean, I really felt like something was missing in my life. I wasn't really happy. I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And, you know, I kind of stepped back and I was like, I miss theater. I miss performing. I miss, like, I don't feel like, you know, working for Subway was my life's purpose, you know?
I get that. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And then when I, you know, I just remember walking in, they have this beautiful arts building.
Yeah.
At UNC Chapel Hill, and this amazing theater where Playmakers Repertory performs. And I remember walking into that building and they had all these different quotes from plays and playwrights all like painted on the walls. And I just literally like started to sob. Like, I felt like this is where I should have been, you know.
Yeah.
Years ago. And I felt
that 17 year detour.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, I was like, okay, I know this is what I need to do. And it was really interesting because I was obviously much older than most of the students and even some of the professors. So, it was definitely a challenge going back after being out of school for so many years, but I'm really glad that I did.
When did you guys come back to Florida?
About 5 years ago.
Okay. Did you go and act and stuff? Obviously you're teaching, so you must have kind of immersed yourself in the theater community here, which is pretty rich, as mm-hmm. we all know. Mm-hmm. So you worked in shows around, or did you just say, I'm going to start my own company? And it took a while. Chicken or the egg, really?
I did a few productions when I first moved back. Mm-hmm. I did, and I'm still obviously always wanting work, so... Hey, directors, yeah. I still act too.
Oh, you know, Stacey, they all watch this.
Yeah, right. So, I did a production with Tampa Rep, and I did a production with Stageworks, and then I assistant directed on a Stageworks show, and then Carla hired me to direct Blithe Spirit at Stageworks. Mm-hmm. And I've done some things locally, obviously, would love to continue to do more. Sometimes it's difficult because things will conflict, you know, scheduling wise. I might get asked to do something or to audition for something. And I know we have a production coming up and that has to take my primary focus.
Of course it does.
Right.
And then once the company gets bigger and things change, then you can devote all your time to that. And
there you go.
And maybe acting your own shows too. Look, I want to switch gears here and say the words Lauren Gunderson.
Yes.
Lauren Gunderson is the most produced playwright of what, the last 3 or 4 years, American playwright. And she wrote I and You, which is very big. You mentioned a couple other ones. She wrote Miss Bennett Christmas at Pemberley, which American staged it, which I think for that season was the most produced show in America. Everybody was doing it. And she wrote Silent Sky, which I saw at American Stage last year, which I absolutely love. She's a brilliant playwright. And she also has this piece, here's a segue, called Natural Shocks. why don't you take it from here and explain to everybody exactly what Innovocative is doing next week.
Yeah, so Natural Shocks is a one-woman show. And the premise basically is that this woman is hiding in her basement because a big storm's a-coming, a tornado's coming. So she's hiding in her basement.
Yeah.
And, you know, originally it was written as a stage production, as most plays are. Mm-hmm. But in reading it, it completely lends itself to live streaming as if she were, you know, doing like a Facebook Live or an Instagram Live, talking to her phone to anyone who will listen.
So she's in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And just riffing on, there's a whole lot of references to Shakespeare and stuff. And
it's a little, it's like, I was trying to think about this. It's sort of a combination of like a confessional, a live vlogger, and Blair Witch.
Okay, you got my attention.
Yeah, it's very, you know, very rough because the actress who's not only acting, you know, the one-woman show, she's actually literally going to be filming herself on her camera.
So the cell phone is actually our portal into this virtual stage.
Yes. So it's going to be very up close, very personal, very much like you're right there with her as if you were talking to someone on Zoom or on a Facebook Live.
Like this. And the thing that just popped into my mind is it's so claustrophobic. It's sort of like, I'm in this little box, you're in with me. And that's kind of what, there's a lot of stuff going on in her life and she's, what is she? I read some stuff about the show and I haven't seen it. I'm really excited about seeing it, but you know, she's was she a mathematician or something? What is, you know?
She's actually an insurance agent, which is Which is one of the jokes. She said, "I know you're thrilled. You're stuck in the basement with an insurance agent."
Oh yeah. Okay. It's just a hop and a skip from insurance agent to mathematician.
So she, she's an insurance agent and she's hiding out down there. And she's, like I said, it's part confessional, part, just reaching out to anybody who might be listening, you know? And like I said, I read the play and I'm like, this totally works in this format.
Yeah.
Because I've seen some other things and, you know, I got to give kudos to anybody right now, any theater company who is trying to produce content and putting it out there, because we're all, as artists, you know, we want to create, we want to perform, we want to share with an audience. And right now that's really hard to do. this particular play, like I said, I was like, this is it. This totally makes sense. It works. I think it will grab people and bring them in, you know?
Had you been thinking about what can we do virtually? Because you're right, everybody's doing something or other. And in fact, American Stage's new thing starts at 8. So once we're done, we can watch that. They're doing short plays once a week for July. But I mean, were you thinking, what can we do virtually? We have to declare that we're still here. I have to make an artistic statement anyway. Were you thinking along the lines and this just came up, or how did that
work? Yeah, for a long time, actually. You know, when we first went in, you know, when everybody first had to stay in, you know, we as a board and some of the artists were talking like, what can we do? I don't know. What should we do? Should we wait? So there was a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, of course, we've never done anything like this. And we kind of paused, like a lot of companies and a lot of people, I think, for a couple months. We kind of just hit the pause button. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a summer production that was scheduled for July at Stageworks, which obviously we canceled. But we hit that pause button and I think we were all kind of trying to figure out what was next and what could we do. And then this play came along and someone recommended it to me. And I was like, yeah, this could work. This really could work. So I actually reached out to Marie-Claude Tremblay. Mm-hmm. We've done four think four shows together now. She was in the very first play that we did called Dark Vanilla Jungle with the Tampa Fringe Festival. So she and I, again, that was a one-woman show as well. So she and I, that's sort of like where we started the company. And then she was also Catherine in Proof. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, let's get together again. Let's do this, you know? And, she's like, all right, I'm down. I'm in. And we've been rehearsing on Zoom and different in different virtual formats, you know, testing out the live streaming on her cell phone and all that good stuff.
Well, let's reiterate that it's going to be completely live. Like, you're not recording it and then sending the video out, which is frankly the chicken shit way to do it, because we did something and that's what we did. We didn't do it live. And this is, okay, it's July 9th and 11th. There are two performances.
Yep.
At what time each day?
So the Thursday, July 9th, we're doing an 8 o'clock show, because that is the one that Lauren Gunderson is going to be following the show, doing a talk back with
you
us.
Gave it away. No, I was going to sneak that one in. Okay.
We'll come back to that.
So the 9th at 8 o'clock and the 11th.
And then the 11th is going to be at 9 o'clock. We kind of wanted to do a little bit of a later show, sort of like a late movie, if you will.
Oh, that's cool.
We kind of thought, all right, it's the show itself is 65 minutes. So it's a real fast 65 minutes. And we were like, you know what, give those, for example, parents or people who, you know, want to have their dinner or whatever, like you go to a 9:30, 10 o'clock movie.
Oh yeah. So
that was sort of the thought. We're like, well, let's try it. Let's do 9 o'clock on the 11th. It's a Saturday, you know, hopefully.
Well, it is. I mean, we should make sure that people understand it's a ticketed event, but you know what, if you're into supporting local theater, how cool is this show? This is the one to do it. We're going to talk about Lauren in a second, but let's tell people how they can, you know, get their tickets, their virtual tickets with their real money and be a part of Natural Shocks. Tell us how we can do that.
Well, probably the easiest way is to go to our website, which is www.innovativetheater.org. And I'll spell it, because again, it's not a real word. INNOVOCATIVE. Theater with an R-E at the end, .org. And right on our main page will take you right to Eventbrite for ticketing. So we're selling tickets through Eventbrite. And once they purchase a ticket, the day of the show, we'll be sending them the link to YouTube where they can watch. So it's not going to be published publicly. So unless you buy a ticket, you won't have the link and won't know where to tune in. It won't be replayed. It won't be recorded, because you know, just like a live performance, you have to pay for royalties for rights, and we purchased the rights for two performances.
So what a fabulous experience this is. Now back to Lauren Gunderson, the world's greatest playwright. She's Superwoman. She is going to do a talk back after the performance on the 9th. You've been in touch with the playwright. Tell us about this. This is so cool.
So cool. She is so nice, so supportive. I reached out to her at first to ask, you know, could we live stream this? And she is like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, went ahead and got the rights and everything. And then I was like, and by the way, you know,
as long as I got you in a good mood here.
Yeah. Like, Innovative Theater loves to do talkbacks, because we really think, you know, we want to engage the community further.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people who would love to have the opportunity to talk to you and you know, pick your brain a little bit, maybe aspiring playwrights or actors, or even just, you know, the public who may be curious about things, how she comes up with these topics or plays. And you know, so I'm really, really excited that she's going to join us following the Thursday night show. It's really cool.
Now, I'll tell you something. When Silent Sky was in town, I tried to get a phone interview with Lauren and I couldn't get one. She wouldn't talk to me. She loves you. So I'm jealous. Aww. I think she's great, man. Seriously.
Yeah, she's really nice.
This is really going to be fantastic. And I love the fact that it's everybody's doing something slightly different. And this is probably, I was going to say, this is both innovative and evocative, what you're doing here. Let's just repeat everything. There's a storm a-coming, and it's called Natural Shocks by Lauren Gunderson. It is being produced, a one-woman show by Stacey Zabarsky and Innovative Theater. It is, let me see if I got this right, and I know I do, July 9th at 8 p.m. and July 11th at 9 p.m. after you put the kids to bed, because it's a real scorcher, this show. It's really going to be cool. And we go to InnovativeTheater.org. That's re.org. You can find it. You work it out, Innovative Theater. It isn't a real word, but it's cool. And it's easy to figure out. And Stacey, anything else you want to add that I didn't ask you? Because we're just about the end of our time here.
Oh, I just really want to thank you for helping not only support the arts and what you're doing and continuing, live streaming like this to let people know that art is still out in the community. Mm-hmm. And it's what we all need to turn to in times where, you know, we're facing some struggles. And
for me, Stacey, I think it's a lot of this is just staying in touch with my friends, because I love creative people. And most of them are certifiably insane, of course, but that's part of their charm. And for me, this is like, I feel better because I know you're all still here, just like I'm still here. And that's a big reason, but thank you for saying that. And it's innovativetheater.org. And this video of this will be up here momentarily. If you missed part of it, catch the rest of it coming around. It'll be on YouTube very shortly also. And Stacey, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And thank you for, like I said, helping to spread the news about this and for doing what you do.
So. It is, despite everything, a great time to be alive. So thank you. And I can't get my mouse over here to click the thing that says end the meeting. There. Okay. Stacey, have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Take care, Bill.
Hope to see you soon. Bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
And I'm still here. Hold that smile.
From stpcatalyst.com.